I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time. To become a part of time.
Hariom, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got an interesting show for you tonight, as usual, jam-packed with information. And before we get started, I'd like to pass on the toll-free numbers that you can call in to ask questions, make comments. And that's in the USA, 887-876-5227. That's 887-876-5227. And in Canada, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I'd like to really thank everyone who emailed me this week with respect to comments made on last week's show. And, you know, I too am a little disappointed about the no-show on October 14th. We kind of called that last week on the show, and I mean, I would personally love to have had some super obvious ET visitations, as much as I'm sure a lot of our listeners would like to have, but was not surprised about the no-show, and appreciate those people who had emailed me, and I'd just like to say it's just so gratifying to see so many people who follow this show and who, you know, find that we're very accurate in the information that we put out. And one of the reasons for that is the information, a lot of it does come from Bashar. And we've been saying this on ET Yoga since the inception of the show that... to my way of thinking, there isn't a better source of accurate information on the planet right now. And if there is, I'd sure like to know about it. So if you think you've got one out there, you can always email me at paperfungo@yahoo.ca. That's P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo@yahoo.ca. Always interested in great sources of information. Now, for those who are new to ET Yoga, the background that I'm coming from is in the yogic side, from Sri Ramana Maharshi, from Paramahansa Yogananda, and Sri Swami Satchidananda as the main core, and back in the old days, Baba Ram Das as well. And from the ET side, the Esasani, Pleiadian, Arcturian, and Sirian. So those are the areas that... for the most part, although I've, you know, studied a lot about lots of channeled extraterrestrial information, those are the ones that have been most attractive to me, and the ones that I personally find the most accurate information. Speaking of accurate information, Bashar had recommended a book called Cosmic Voyage, and he indicates that it's about 95% accurate. It's done by a remote viewer. And covers lots of interesting topics that, frankly, I don't see, you know, mentioned on any other websites. Very interesting information. I highly recommend the book. And if you get a chance to get your hands on that one, that's a great one. And I've always felt like in the yogic side, the classic yogic text was Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. And in the extraterrestrial areas, I think the classic text was Barbara Marciniak's Bringers of the Dawn. And I also always try to put in a word for Patricia Corey's Syrian revelations as well, and especially No More Secrets, No More Lies. So if you're looking for some what I think really accurate information, that's a good place to look. Now, we've mentioned at the top of our show and our update on our website for this week's show that we'd be talking about first contact. And I think that kind of ties in with the topics that are sort of on people's mind out there is, you know, when's that going to happen, and who's it going to be with, that kind of thing, and are there any answers out there? Well, in my opinion, the whole subject of open contact is sort of analogous to when Columbus discovered America. Columbus got credit for discovering America, but there was lots of other people here first. And I think that that's analogous to the first contact scenario, in that there's already been lots of contact, although at some point in the future there will be what's known as the first official public contact. And in that respect, about 3 years ago, I started out being involved in a online group that was set up by Daryl Anka, and through Bashar's request, that some people from the planet actually put together a bill wording our intent to make contact with peaceful extraterrestrials, and also to set up a protocol for how government and how the information of contact would be disseminated to the public. And over the course of time, I became the chairperson for that group, and we spent about 6 months coming up with the wording for a bill. And if you're interested in seeing the Extraterrestrial Open Contact Act, that can be seen at www.bashar.org. That's Bashar, B-A-S-H-A-R. Now, the some of the main highlights of that bill were to make sure that the public would be aware of open public contact with extraterrestrial groups, and that to be monitored on a regular basis, and there'd be timely information given to the public. And we did not want to go into the histories of previous contact by governments or other groups. And if you're interested in that subject, abductions, deals that were made with governments, et cetera, for technology, et cetera, that kind of thing, my suggestion is, again, read Cosmic Voyage. If you haven't read Blueprint for Change by Bashar, I think you'll find lots of fascinating information in there with respect to past history. Now, the focus of tonight's show is more on the future contact, first contact. And in that respect, we see all over the web, and I'm sure that you do if you're interested in the subject, all kinds of scenarios like ETs supposedly taking groups of people off the planet, etc. And I guess over the course of time, my own opinion on that is that the only people that need to be saved are victims. And you can stretch that definition to any other area you'd like as well. To my way of thinking, nobody on this planet at the highest levels needs protection or needs to be saved. The only person that you need to be saved from is you, because you create your universe, and the you in universe really does stand for you. And I know that Bashar comes from the point of view that the first contact scenarios will happen as more people more closely approximate their vibration. So that in the past, I know there have been contact scenarios, I guess, way back in history where people from Earth tend to view the extraterrestrials as more like gods or, you know, so far advanced. And in many ways they are, but in many ways, at our highest levels, we're equally advanced, and in some ways more so, apparently, with our DNA. And in that respect, talking about DNA, my understanding is that we have some of the most phenomenal DNA in the universe. And the fact that we can have simultaneous incarnations, at least from our higher self's point of view, is a very almost unique scenario in this sector of the universe. And clearly, there's more and more information coming out about activating latent DNA. And when we would operate with 100% of our mind or DNA, we're phenomenal, powerful beings. And obviously, a very sought-after commodity is the human DNA. And although we've had a history of being victims and abused in many ways over the course of time, I think the future there also is very bright. And I think this first contact subject is also, you know, can't be seen in isolation. I mean, we're coming up to the 2012, which certainly marks an interesting and important time in human development and history. And I, for one, am very, very optimistic about 2012 and the possibilities that arise. And aside from all the, I guess, so-called negative scenarios or that are playing out or coming to the surface, there's also these wonderful possibilities that exist for those who are riding the crest of consciousness and are placing themselves in a position for ascension. And I believe all these subjects, you know, are a factor in this first contact scenario. And Bashar has indicated that Earth is under quarantine until 2012. Now, what does that mean? Well, and who's placed us under quarantine? My understanding through Bashar is that it's from the Association of Worlds. And basically, this means that there will not be at least an open contact scenario with Earth until after that date. Now, there may be some false flag scenarios, but according to Bashar, the quarantine is in effect. And by the way, I've heard of the and connect with the Pleiadian emissaries of light, the Arcturian League of Light, the Syrian Archangelic League of Light, and I've heard of the Andromedan Galactic League of Light, but this new one that's come up in my terminology this over the past month or so, this Federation of Light, never heard of it. So somebody did ask me that on an email that I wasn't able to respond to prior to going on the air tonight. But that's a new one on me. So not saying it doesn't exist, I'm just saying never heard of it. Now, in respect to this 2012 and the quarantine, what types of events has Bashar stated will occur? And he's basically talking about the phenomenon known as the Phoenix Lights is actually a race of beings called the Shalanaya. And the first or second ET Yoga show, we came on the air. And as far as I'm aware, we're the first radio show that made a public announcement concerning the Shalanaya. And Bashar has stated that in the year 2010, that the Shalanaya will again be making a presence known in Arizona. And he's also stated that sometime in 2012, the Shalanaya will be making similar appearances at various sacred sites around the planet. So if you're a Bashar fan or looking for, you know, an opinion that may coincide with your gut feelings. This is the information that I most resonate with, and again, coming from Bashar. So it's not coming from, a typical psychic or someone making a prediction. It's coming from a multidimensional being who I believe has a mission with respect to assisting Earth in this endeavor of making first contact, has been involved with initiating on Earth an Open Terrestrial Contact Act. And if you listen to his tapes, you'll see that he's highly involved with and coordinates a lot of things with various extraterrestrial groups, and in my opinion, on the positive side. So he has also stated that as he reads the energy at this moment, the most likely time for an open public contact scenario with Michelle and I will be somewhere around the 2015 to 2017 range. He actually goes on further with the way things are progressing at the moment to a scenario whereby in 2035 we would actually be full members of the Association of Worlds. We're sort of on trial membership at the time. Now, I find it kind of interesting that this information, you know, has been around now for about 6 months. And I don't really see a lot of people picking up on it. In one sense, I find that fascinating and amazing. In another sense, I sort of relate it to the whole concept, kind of like The Secret, which has, taken flight in North America, and lots of people have copies of the CD and or tapes of some form or another, and I'm not saying that it's not good information, because especially the concept that thought creates, I think, is the very key and core of it. But Bashar has been going around the world for the last 25 years, channeled by Daryl Anka, and he's taught all that information 25 years ago. So for the people that are really into Bashar and what he's passing on, you're really on the inside track on pretty much everything. And in my opinion, this is the inside track on first contact. First contact, according to Bashar, will be with a group called the Shalanaya. And that's not to say that there aren't lots of other groups, you know, that are visiting here now and that are involved in various ways. But this is the information coming from Bashar. Personally, I don't have any firsthand connection or knowledge other than through Bashar on this topic. And so, like anything else, I keep an open mind even with Bashar information, and I suggest everybody do that as well. Anytime anybody's giving information, as far as I'm concerned, you don't take it at face value. You might put it aside and say, well, okay, I've heard this opinion from here. This sounds good. What's my gut tell me about this? How do I resonate with this information? Is it truthful for where I am at whatever stage in development I'm at? And I think that's probably good advice as well in the educational systems. Like, you don't take anything just at face value. And even, I could even expand that same concept onto when people sometimes totally give their power over to organizations or even the medical system or whatever. To my way of thinking, they do a diagnosis and then you tell them what you want done. You just totally give away your power and they tell you what's going to be done. So I think that's just a good attitude to have in general with respect to when you do need to delegate your power to someone that you have faith or trust in, and it still means that you're making the final decisions. And so on the first contact scenario, I think that there will be lots of things and exciting things happening as well between now and 2012. But I would be very surprised about any open public contact because Earth's in quarantine. And second, I think that, well, 2012 will represent some very interesting future scenarios and likely some alternate Earth scenarios as well. And who has contact here will be in that particular frequency or vibration. So that's my take on the first contact scenario, for what it's worth. And certainly, Bashar keeps coming out with new information all the time. I don't have actually the last Bashar session that he did in California. I ordered it about a month ago and wasn't able to hear the live broadcast. So there are probably listeners out there that are even more up-to-date than I am with something new, but that's the latest that I have to pass on that subject. Now, moving on to a comment that I made on prefacing the show tonight about that there is no objective reality. And I want to expand upon that just a little bit. According to Bashar, there is the idea of a consensus reality, and it's more of an idea. And also, according to Bashar, each of us resides in our own universe. And the reason that we have this shared consensus is that we agree to it on some level. And he's actually given the example, and this is a pretty heavy one, that if there was a room full of 20 people, it's actually 20 different rooms with 20 different people in it. That's a pretty interesting one to contemplate sometime. So that we each create our outer experience and our take on it. So I find that's really a fascinating concept. And actually, quantum physics has actually postulated this theory as well. For those who want to really get into some of the more technical aspects of that, actually, in the archives for ET Yoga, we actually did a show one night on amazing discoveries that most people have never heard about. And some of that did deal with some of the latest quantum theories as well as scientific invention. And I don't want to get sidetracked and go into reviewing all those tonight, but it is in our archives. And more to the topic of an objective reality, we're going to be talking this evening as well about information from Bashar concerning this topic. And Bashar would say that first and foremost, we understand that many of you are now beginning to explore notions of what you label us to be, the concept of interactions with extraterrestrials. We also recognize, however, that your world is going through a great transformation of spirit, a great transformation of consciousness. To us, this is really the most important of the two ideas, that you yourselves have more and more interaction with your true selves, with your core being, with your essential spirituality and consciousness, more than the idea of desiring to interact with extraterrestrial beings. This will happen, as you say, as par for the course in your language, but the idea is that the most likely way that this will come about, the most likely way that you will allow such interactions to take place, is, as we have said from time to time, to meet us halfway. We're not going to do it for you. We're not going to take responsibility for your lives. We have our own lives to live. Thank you very much. It keeps us very busy. We do not have time to live your lives for you, as well as our own. The idea, therefore, however, is that we do wish to play, we do wish to interact, but as equals, by reflecting to each and every one of you in all the ways that are possible to do so through this particular methodology, that you yourselves are, in fact, equal to us, and to any idea that you can conceive within your consciousness, and that we simply will enjoy taking the time to remind you of this fact, to remind you of what you already know to be true within yourselves, to put you in that sense in a state, to help you put yourselves in a state that gets you back in touch with your true core, essential selves, so that you can function in the way that you were designed by creation to function, and that is as a reflection of the infinite. When you learn, when you allow, when you remember to do that for yourselves, you will change the vibration of not only yourself individually, but of course of the entire reality that you occupy, and by changing that frequency in much the same way that you change the channels on your television machine, you will change the program that you get. By changing that frequency, by accelerating it, by stepping it up, through the method of being more yourself, getting closer in alignment to your true core vibration, you will create a reality that makes it more likely and more probable and more possible for any other being that operates on a similar level to be able to interact with each and every one of you individually and collectively. But first and foremost, the people you must meet, the aliens you must come into contact with, are those portions of your consciousness that have for thousands of years been suppressed within you and have become disguised in the idea of fear, in the idea of denial, in the idea of all of these fragmentations that have occurred in your consciousness. We are not in any way, shape, or form judging you in a negative sense when we say this. Believe us, we love you unconditionally. The idea really is that the reason we are doing this, in a sense, aside from what we get out of interacting with you, is because we know what you are capable of. We can see more of you. Then you allow yourselves to see yourselves. It is easy for us to see the idea of the totality of what you can create in your reality. We believe in you utterly, absolutely, and totally. However, of course, our belief in you is not the point. Your belief in yourselves is the only thing that will make a difference and create an ability for you to see for yourselves that you really are unlimited beings in the way that you were fashioned to be. So while we may address from time to time the concept of interaction and recognition of what you label us to be as extraterrestrial beings, we will certainly take time to focus on what we believe to be the more critical and important point, and that is getting in touch with your true selves. For if you do not allow yourselves to be who you really are, there's no one for us to meet. You're not home. We come knocking on the door, and you're not there. You're off somewhere looking for who you think you're supposed to be, and there's no answer at the door. So in order for us to be capable one day of meeting, not that that is the most important reason to do this, we urge you to discover who you are and live in the present, here and now, because only in the here and now will we eventually meet. So the ideas that we will most likely be discussing are notions of how to become more of yourself, how to remember who you are, and not just on a philosophical level, but on a pragmatic, practical, physiological level of physics, how to apply these principles into your day-to-day reality to get an effect. For we understand that just as we are, you are physiological beings, and you must understand how to connect the idea of spirit and mind with body in order to complete the circuit that allows you to have the experience of spirituality in the physical plane and not just relegate the concepts of spirituality to higher philosophical and etheric realms with no practical application in the realm you decided to experience. For there is nothing unspiritual about physicality. It all depends on how you use it. That's the point. To a very great degree, to put this in a very simplistic idea or foundational fashion, one of the greatest acts of spirituality that you can possibly achieve is to simply live your physical life to the fullest that you can. And this brings us to the crux and critical point of the things that we wish to reflect to each and every one of you. The critical point is this: how to discover the vibrational frequency of who you are. How to allow yourself to continue to create that frequency moment to moment, day to day in your life as you desire to, as you choose to. We will be in further conversations and further transmissions discussing in greater detail some of the fundamental elements of physical reality so that you can get, as you say in your language, a better handle on these principles. But for now, we will give you an overview, an understanding, so that you will at least, from this encounter, walk away with all the basics in place and allow yourself the understanding to know that it is up to you to put these things into practical application in your lives. The first principle, really, where this is all concerned, comes down to the idea, as you have heard it many times, we're not saying we're delivering this to you for the first time. It has been around for thousands of your years. Follow your excitement. Why is this so important? Why do you hear about this all the time? Why do you hear that follow your bliss, act on your joy is such an important principle of life at this time? Of course, all of this must be based in unconditional love, connection of your alignment with the infinite, but in terms of the beginning of the tools that you can use in your physiological reality, following your excitement is of paramount importance. And I will tell you why. The idea following is this. What you typically call the sensation of excitement, the physical sensation of joy, and this doesn't mean you have to be jumping up and down all the time. It can be a peaceful, centered, relaxed sense of beingness that can be excitement too. But that vibration of excitement is, are you paying attention? Are you paying attention? All right, just wanting to be sure there is someone receiving on the other end of this transmission. Excitement is the physical translation, of the vibrational resonance that is your true core natural being. So whenever you act on any opportunity that presents itself into your life synchronistically that contains the highest degree of excitement, what you are saying is, yes, I believe in who I was created to be. I believe that this opportunity, this situation, this circumstance, this condition, whatever it may be that contains it, this particular moment in my life, the highest amount of excitement possible out of all the things I have the option to do, this right now is the most exciting one. If you understand that excitement is your true frequency, then you will act on it without hesitation, trusting that to do so will maintain the alignment with your core and that that situation, no matter how you have been taught to define it on the surface, will bring about all the elements necessary to support you in whatever way, shape, or form is the path of least resistance in allowing you to be who you are, and B, lead you to the next most exciting circumstance. This is an automatic function of acting on your joy without hesitation, without negative judgment, without overanalyzation. By acting on your joy, you are making a statement to the universe. This is who I am. Support me as you have always supported me in whatever degree of belief I had. The idea, therefore, is that by making what you call the leap of faith, by acting on your joy as best you can at every given moment, you are showing by your behavior that you believe this is who you are. And it is that degree of conviction that is required for the universe to be able to reflect back to you the same degree of support that you are willing to exhibit in terms of your degree of conviction that this is who you are. Are you all following along? This is not philosophy. This is physics. What you put out is what you get back. This is the third law of creation. By the way, there are only four. Number one, you exist. Can't do much about that. Number two, the one is all, and the all is one. This is also a law of creation. Number three, what you put out is what you get back. Number four, change is the only constant except for the first three laws, which never change. That's it. Anything that you experience in your reality after that is a combination and a variation of these four principles. Everything that you experience is a manifestation of your understanding and your ability to clearly and consciously align with these four principles. In a euphemistic terminology, as you say in your language, to go with the flow. The idea being that going with the flow is a full recognition and a conscious awareness and a willingness to act on these four principles in every circumstance that comes up in your life. Number one, you exist. Number two, the one is all, the all is one. Number three, what you put out is what you get back. Number four, change is the only constant except the first three laws, which never change. Suffice to say, you can begin to recognize that these carry within them the very seeds of your ability to understand that the experience that you call physical reality is nothing but a mirror. Literally, physical reality is nothing. It is no thing. nothing. It is no thing. Use the analogy on your planet of the device that you have that is called a glass mirror. You understand, if you think about it for a moment, that the reflection that you see of your face in the mirror is not literally in the mirror. The glass has reflected all the light of your face back to you. That's why you see the reflection, which means there is nothing in the mirror. No thing. The mirror is actually blank. By being a perfect reflector, it holds on to none of the light and gives it all back to you. That's why you see the reflection. Physiological reality, take me literally, is a mirror. It is just a more complex mirror, a holographic mirror, a multidimensional mirror, so that you don't always recognize all the reflections as you, but believe me, they are, all the reflections are you. And I mean literally every object, person, place, and thing, every situation, every circumstance, every moment of time and space is you being reflected back to yourself from the particular point of view you chose to express at that particular moment. Does that make sense to you? When you can begin to understand this as a true physics principle, you will begin to realize this doesn't always mean that what's going on in your physical reality has to be an exact one-to-one reflection in terms of what it might mean for one person as opposed to what it might mean for you specifically. But the fact that you are experiencing it means it has something to do with you. And you can always learn something from the reflection because there's always a reflection. And if you begin to understand it as a reflection, you will begin to understand that you are at cause of your life, that you yourself have the opportunity, if you treat reality as a reflection, to examine it and see if you like the reflection you're getting, so that if you do not prefer it, and I don't mean judge it, do not prefer it, means just observe that it is not aligned with your frequency. There's a difference between negative judgment and preference. Pay attention to your definitions, and we will get into that in a moment. The idea, however, is that you can recognize that if you do not prefer the reflection, then you know that it is a matter of changing what you put out in order to get back a different reflection. And that allows you to know you are always capable of making that choice. You have the free will to choose on that level how you will experience yourself in the concept, in the modality you call physical reality. Again, use the mirror analogy. If you see your face in the mirror with a frown, do you stand there and say, all right, I insist, mirror reflection, I will smile, I will be happy, but you smile first, otherwise I won't. Who do you think is going to win that battle? Believe me, the mirror can outweigh you. The idea to understand, therefore, is that if you want to see a smile reflected in that mirror, you have to smile first, or there will be no reflection of a smile. Therefore, by stretching this into the physiological reality analogy even further, you understand that many of you have been trained, have been taught, to insist that you will only base your behavior on the things that happen to you. I will be happy if, I will be happy when, and not a second before, I'm putting my foot down. I will be happy if this happens. I will be happy when you do this for me. This is all sound familiar. The idea to simply understand again is this. If you understand the principle we're discussing now, you will realize it is more a matter of, I will be happy because that's what I want to be. When you are happy because that's what you want to be, and I mean truly the vibration of happiness, not just pretending, not just covering it up, oh yes, I'm very happy, not just in denial of things, you need to feel things, you need to face fears that you need to experience in order to integrate them. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about avoidance. I'm talking about the idea of true vibrations of joy and happiness. When you choose to be that vibration, then again, what's the third law? What you put out is what you get back. The second, the instant, the moment you are that vibration, the reflection in your physical reality has no choice but to reflect a reality that corresponds to the vibration of your ecstasy. Because the universal reflecting mirror doesn't have a mind of its own. It can't contradict you. It's not going to argue with you. Yes, I see that you're happy, but I'm not going to give you a happy reflection. No, it doesn't have that capability. It is only nothing, nothing at all. It is only the reflection of what you put there, and that's it. So if you will be the vibration of happiness, you will see experientially that you will get the reflection in all the ways that are reflective of your happiness. To the degree that your happiness vibration is turned on, you will get that reality. However, here's that clause, pay attention, here's what you call in your language the fine print. This is what we perceive in observing your society that trips many of you up and gets you into trouble. Many of you will still place a condition on your happiness even when you think you're doing it this way. Oh yes, all right. Yes, I will be happy because I know that if I'm happy, then I'll get this happy reality. Then I'll get what I want. Then I'll get what I desire. If, then, if, then. You are still making it conditional on what happens outside you, and there is no outside. So the idea to really bring it down to focus is understand this. In order for the principle to really work, in order for reality to reflect back to you the true reflection of your happiness, you have to be happy with no expectation that you will get a reflection back. I'm going to repeat that. In order for this principle to really work, in order for reality to reflect back to you the true reflection of your happiness, you have to be happy with no expectation that you will get a reflection back. That's how it works. That's what makes it effortless. That's what makes it flawless. That's what makes it infinite. That's what makes it pristine. That's what makes it gracious. That's what makes it beautiful. That's what makes it awesome. You don't even have to think about what will come back. You simply can take it for granted. You can know. You can simply already have the gratitude to the infinite, to know that when you are happy, nothing else can happen but happy reflections. And you don't have to put a condition on your happiness that says, yes, I'll be happy because it will then get me what I want. You have to be happy with no expectation whatsoever. I mean zero. Because what is zero? The center. The nil point. This is where you exist, in the here and now, in the true unknown. Many of you, for thousands of years, have been afraid of what you have labeled the unknown. I will tell you this in all honesty and earnestness. Make a friend of the unknown. The unknown is the only place, and I mean this with all my heart, the unknown is the only place you will ever actually discover your true self, period. Take that to heart. Leap into the unknown. Don't be afraid of it. Or if you are, be afraid of it and leap anyway. Because in the unknown, you're only going to discover, I guarantee, I promise you, you're only going to discover more of yourself because that's all there is to discover in your experience. You know why? I'll tell you. Thank you. Because of the wonderful happenstance of your particular English language, you can get a very strong reinforcement of exactly why it works this way, why you will only discover yourself in the unknown. That is because, as your language so beautifully points out, you are the universe, Y-O-U. The universe is only made up of you, and that's all you'll ever find in your particular universe is you. Your expression of the infinite. If you wish to call it God, if you wish to call it goddess, if you wish to call it all that is, as we do, it does not matter, because all that is doesn't care what you call it. Because all that is knows that anything you could think of is a name that already contained within all that is, and it will accept it as its own name, because everything is within all that is. That's why it's called all that is. Because there's nothing outside. If it were, it would be called all that is plus what's outside. But all that is exactly as it sounds. It is all that is, and there isn't anything else because what is simply is. The idea, therefore, is to understand that what you call, what you will always discover, will simply be all that is expressing itself through the unique portion of all that is you were created to be. Remember the second law, the one is all, the all are one. Every component of the all that is, all of you, all of us, every individuated being, every individuated concept is the whole expressing itself as a part. Important point. I'll rewind that and repeat it, because we understand that you have been trained to think segregationally. Sometimes individuals on your planet may miss the point. All of you are, yes, a part of the whole, but as a part of the whole, you are the whole expressing itself as part of the whole. big difference than just thinking of yourself as part of the whole without the other side. You have to understand yourself holographically. It is this and that, not this or that. Anything you can imagine is this and that. It is all-inclusive. You have to have both sides, the heads and the tails, in order to have a coin. Without one side, you don't have a coin. So you are the part, you are the whole, you are both one and the same, but expressing the whole as a part. The idea, therefore, is to understand yourself in this way and express yourself more holistically. And you will understand how to experience more of the whole. You will get it, in a sense, more of an expanded experience when you express yourself as if you were more of the whole. The idea being that there is a whole picture that you might liken into a large puzzle that has a picture on it, and we know that many of you like to play with on your planet. You understand that the puzzle is made up of many small individual, differently shaped pieces. Now, we have observed on your planet that, oh, for the course of, say, several thousand of your years of time, you've been trained to try and be a shape that you are not, to try and be this shape, to try and be that shape. Fit here, fit there, come here, belong this way, do this, do that, do not be yourself. That won't work. Stop dreaming, stop daydreaming, stop being yourself. That doesn't fit in. Be who we say you need to be. And so now you've become experts at being someone other than yourself. The idea being, therefore, is that when you do that, you are no longer the shape that you were originally made in. If you are no longer, as a puzzle piece, the shape that fits in the whole you were originally made for, then you cannot support the creation of the whole picture because you no longer fit. Only by being your natural self will you be your natural shape, and only by being your natural shape will you fit in the original space designed just for little old you. And by fitting in that space, do you then act in service to every other piece, because then you support the whole, which supports all the other pieces who are willing to be their true natural shape. That's how it works. All I am doing is reflecting back to you what you already know but may have forgotten for a little while. That's all there is to it. You have forgotten. You know all of this. I'm telling you nothing new at all. In fact, I will tell you a deep, dark secret. It would be impossible for me to tell you what I am telling you if you didn't already contain it. Why? Because your reality is what? A reflection. And I am, in your reality, a reflection of the portion of you that already knows all of this. So it could be said that right now, you're talking to yourself. So thank you for being willing to be crazy enough to talk to yourselves, to talk to the portion of yourself that knows all of this and is willing to believe all of this and is willing to incorporate all of this into the reality so you can get the effect. I think at this point, I'd like to say that next show will continue with some more along that line of being more of you and also expanding on the concepts of how we function in 3D reality. And for those who would kind of like to take a jump start on some of that information, I also highly recommend the College of Christ Consciousness website, and it's a channeling there by Gene Hatch of Mother Mary, and listed at that site are 20 secrets, really, concepts that were only part of the ancient mystery schools, and until the last couple of years have not been available to the public. Some of this information has leaked. But not much of it, and I don't hear a lot of people talking about that website, and again, I'm amazed, because we've done a couple of shows on ET Yoga where we've incorporated those ideas and connected them with Bashar's teachings, and the concept there that I really like is that the Mother Mary material came from about 2,000 years ago, and according to Bashar, he's coming from 2,700 years in our future, and the information is, well, it's almost identical. It's different wording, same concepts. So if you're a Bashar fan, you'll love the website at College of Christ Consciousness. At this point in time, I'd also like to say that I'd really love to do a show sometime in the near future, and maybe I need to advertise a little about this concept, because it's really hard sometimes when you're doing a radio show to have that dead airspace. And but I would really like to share my concepts and experience answering questions that you may have out there. And I know some of the people, I do try to get back to everyone that does email me, but it's a lot easier for me to get into a flow if people are asking questions. So I'm going to kind of plant the seed here tonight before we sign off and say that in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'm hoping to at least devote a portion of the show to live calls that have questions about topics that we've discussed on ET Yoga. And again, I'd like to express my appreciation for those people who have sent in comments to me at paperfungo.ca. And as usual, I'd like to wish everyone full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And hope you'll tune in again next week. Good night.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.